The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Good morning. It's time to get up with Denver's dominant and historic night as the Nuggets dynamic duo just go wild. What the actual heck happened to the Heat? They go cold. Their efforts called out. How much trouble are they in? And CP3? Is Chris Paul on his way out of Phoenix? And could he end up with LeBron and the Lakers? Hey, good morning. I'm Brian Custer in for Greeny. And look who's with me here at the Seaport. CJ McCollum back. Yes, he is. Alan Hahn is back with us. Diana Russini is with us today. We got Harry Douglas. We got Rob Ninkovich. We got Wendy as well. And guys, let's start with the game of the night. I'm talking Nuggets. It is game three of the NBA Finals. And hey, they had royalty out there. Dwayne Wade in Wade County was at the game, waving to the crowd. Let's pick this one up in the second quarter. Nuggets are up one at this point. Jokic handing it off to Murray. Murray for three. Take all three of those. Nuggets led 41-37. Later in the quarter, game tied up at 43. Watch the follow dump by Bam Adebayo. You're thinking, okay, now he came to play.
The Bam Slam. Isn't that what Mike Breen said?
Oh, it was
the Bam Slam.
Heat led by two. Suing Nuggets possession, though. They kick it to Murray. Have all three of those. Jokic had 14 points, 12 rebounds, 7 assists in the first half. Let's get to the third. Nuggets up 9. Murray, ooh, driving, spinning. He's like, you know what? I'll just clean up my own mess.
That is it. Offensive rebounding, extra effort, extra possessions. That was the key for the Nuggets, and also making sure they closed this quarter strong.
Yeah, they extended their lead to 13 at this point. And here in the third, Butler's pass, though. How about Christian Brown? 15 points, 7 of 8 from the field off the bench. And then Mike Malone just prepping his Nuggets to close this thing out in the fourth quarter.
Listen. They won the fourth quarter. Tonight, we win the fourth quarter. We win the game.
There is no tomorrow.
I mean, he went Herb Brooks, right? He went Herb Brooks.
How about this? Handing it off to one another. That was like the story of the game. Jokic and Jamal Murray, because they just went crazy. Murray was 12 of 22 from the field. And what a game by the big man. Look at this, scoring, driving. He had a triple-double, 32, 21, and 10. Murray, 34, 10, and 10 assists. Nuggets win game three, 109-94. Here's Lisa Salters with the Joker.
You are the first person in NBA history to have a 30-20-10 NBA Finals game. What does that mean to you?
I mean, to be honest, not much.
I figured you were going to say that.
But, yes, I'm just glad that we won a game. It was a big one for us just because they won in our arena, so we just didn't want to go down 2-1.
Listen, Nikola Jokic and Jamal Murray became the first pair of teammates, folks, with 30-point triple-doubles in the same game in NBA history. Regular season and playoffs. They are also the first duo to each have triple-doubles in an NBA Finals game, and I'm talking all time. So with that said here, Alan, you said game three was a must-win.
Yeah.
You said for the Nuggets. Then put in perspective what Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic did.
Well, they felt the way I felt. You could tell by the way they played. They treated this game just like I said they should yesterday, and that was treat this like a must win in attack mode from the start. An Avengers-like performance by this dynamic duo, and they saved the day for Denver because they did not want to go down 2-1. And in fact, when you really look at this as a whole, you start to wonder, did they give away game two in that fourth quarter? You heard Michael Malone in the huddle. You heard him talking about it. Like you were saying, there is no tomorrow. They were letting them know, we got to win this game tonight. We got to close it out and take back control of this series. And you know what? This is what you want out of your stars. It was not an elimination game, but it sure felt like one. It sure felt like a moment of truth for this team. And CJ, when we talk to stars, when media and fans say this stuff, show up. You got to step up. And you're like, what do you want from us? That's what you want. Your best players playing their best when it matters most.
So why was the two-man game between Jokic and Murray just so effective last night?
I think two factors. The intentionality of the fact that they were getting pick and roll after pick and roll after pick and roll with spacing, and then the aggressiveness of Jamal Murray and Joker. Joker didn't feel his way into the game. Jamal didn't feel his way into the game. It took three-pointers early and often. They got into the paint. They made sure that their teammates understood what was at stake and that they would get touches. Look at both stars, right? Over 20 shots apiece. You look at the Miami Heat, both stars, over 20 shots apiece. There was a huge sense of urgency on this game. It's just that Denver stars played better and had a historic performance. Two 30-point triple-doubles. You can't lose when your best players play like that.
Yeah, Wendy, listen, you were at the game. What stood out to you about the Nuggets' performance, especially Jokic and Murray?
Yeah, so obviously CJ just talked about it there. Let me frame it. There was no game this year where Jokic set more screens for Murray than he set last night. 15 different times, guys, they ran a dribble handoff to get Murray open off a Jokic play. What I mean by that is in game two, Jamal Murray got the ball taken out of his hands. The Heat wouldn't let him get it. So they ran a play that you can't stop. The ball has to get to Jamal Murray on a dribble handoff. 15 times they called that play in. Michael Malone leaned in to his two best players and said, win us this game. I'm going to put it in your hands, and they did. And I also felt that they really responded on the defensive end. Nikola Jokic had obviously an incredible offensive performance, one for the ages. But I'm here to tell you it was one of the best defensive games he ever played. Defending the rim, moving his body, getting outside to inside. The Heat were 3 of 19 shooting when Jokic was the primary defender on the ball. That was a brilliant performance at both ends. They knew it. The Heat had won in the previous three series. They killed the opposition in game three. The Nuggets were very aware of that. They knew this is when the Heat usually take control of the series. They didn't let it happen.
Hey, Wendy, we had talked a lot about which one is the snake, the head of the snake. Is it Jokic? Is it Murray? Whose triple-double you think was more important? Was it Jokic? Or was it Murray's?
Well, look, I'm not taking a single scintilla away from Jokic, but this was a game about getting Jamal Murray going. They really wanted to establish him. That was the Heat's key. We spent so much time talking about Jokic and, you know, score versus passer. What the Heat really were focusing on was Murray. They can't really stop Jokic, in all honesty. They limited Murray's touches and limited Murray's effectiveness in game two. You could tell three of the first four possessions, Murray got a shot. This was really about getting Jamal Murray going. He scores 20 in the first half. Jokic is a freight train. You put it together. I'm not sure you're touching him, especially over the course of a long series. And that's what we saw last night.
You know, after game two, you had Nuggets head coach Michael Malone. You remember, he questioned his team's effort. Well, last night, here's Heat star Jimmy Butler on his squad. Take a listen to this.
I feel like we just got to come out with more energy and effort, and that's correctable. That's on us as a group. No X's and O's can fix that. It just can't happen. It won't happen again. It starts with myself.
If this is the NBA Finals, CJ, why are we even having a discussion about lack of effort?
It's not that they didn't play hard. It's the fact that it didn't look like a Miami Heat branded team. Hustle points, loose balls, turnovers, transition baskets. They didn't get those things last night, and I think it showed. Denver got out-hustled and outplayed in game two, especially in the fourth quarter. In this game throughout, I felt like Jimmy Butler is upset with the fact that Jamal Murray was comfortable. He got 15 handoffs to where no one was fighting over the handoffs and putting their hand in there and trying to deflect it. They were comfortable. He's walking into three-pointers. They want to make sure that the Denver Nuggets feel them defensively, and last night they didn't feel them. And I think for Jimmy, it's about the aggression, it's about the attitude, and it's about them performing as if this is a must-win, because in their eyes, going down 3-1 is the series. So they have to make sure they come out better with more intensity and make sure that they make it difficult on Jamal, because the game was very easy for him last night.
You know, Alan, people are going to say after watching last night, was game two a mirage? Was that just a mirage, what we saw out of the Miami Heat up in Denver?
I mean, you can now look back and think, that did the Heat steal game two? Did the Nuggets give away game two? But no offense, CJ, that's player speak. I mean, I'm not buying any of that, because it really, if you think about it, Denver has to credit Miami, because it took the Heat to get the Denver Nuggets to get to that point where they had to get to play as hard as they had to play to win. Miami's been doing this the whole playoffs. You know what they've been doing? They've been forcing the opponent to play their best. You're not beating us without your best. So if you come in and you kind of half-step, you're not winning this thing. And the Celtics learned it, the Knicks learned it, and certainly the Bucks learned it. And then the Denver Nuggets learned it in game two, that they have to make sure they take it all the way to the end. You can't just all of a sudden have a little lapse in the fourth quarter. That game will come away. So the Denver Nuggets can thank the Heat for letting them know just how hard they got to play to win this thing. But let's also take a look. You're going to be demoralized if you're the Heat, because what Denver did was go into the heart of your defense and gut your defense by scoring 60 points in the paint. Fourth most points in the paint scored in an NBA Finals game in the last 25 years. And it wasn't just Jokic. Jamal Murray was getting in the paint. Jamal Murray, 14 of his 34 points were in the paint. Seven more at the free throw line because he was playing aggressive. That's how you demoralize a team and make them think we're not working hard enough.
Hey, Wendy, you know, it seemed like, especially after, you know, that game too, we've given a lot of credit to Spo. Like, yo, Spo is out coaching Michael Malone. But how much does Michael Malone deserve credit by the performance he got out of his Denver Nuggets last night?
Brian, I've known Michael Malone for 18 years. This was the finest coaching I've ever seen him do over the last 3 days. He understands that in his locker room, he's got to be the bad cop. It's not something that Jokic and Murray do. His veteran voices don't really play big roles. It's not their MO. So he broke them down after game two, called them out publicly, and then he built them back up. You know, he had this film session, you know, the day before game three, and you kept hearing him say that he showed 17 clips of their lack of discipline on defense. Well, I found out why he showed 17. He showed 17 because he had one, each player on the team, even the two-way guys, the guys who can't even play in the playoffs, take each clip and explain to the team where they went wrong. So he broke them down and then he started building them up. We saw him with his arm around Jamal Murray at practice, before game three, pumping him back up. Then they showed last night on the ABC broadcast his speech before the game, pumping them back up. It worked perfectly. He set them up perfectly. This was Mike Malone's finest moment in getting this performance from his team.
Yeah, listen, we got a lot more to discuss here about the NBA Finals in this hour, but we got to get to the Women's College World Series. Number one, Oklahoma. Number three, Florida State. And I tell you what, Sooners pitcher Jordy Ball, her pitching arm was strong. In the third, she gets Kaylee Mudge loitering. Then in the fourth, she gets Mack Leonard swinging. She allowed just one hit through four innings. Go to the bottom of the fourth now. One on, no outs. Kenzie Hansen drives this thing into center. Ball on her giddy up. Comes all the way around from first to score. Hansen sliding into second. Look, them Lady Sooners are fired up. They're up 1-0. Bottom of the sixth. Two on, one out. Sooners up 5-0. Look, this one is launched. Watch Kaylee Mudd. Go get it. Oh, straight thievery. At the wall. That is a fantastic catch. We get to the seventh now.
No.
I know. One on, one out. Ball looking to close this thing out. She just snags it. That's the final out. The Sooners take game one, 5-0. You know, Oklahoma has won 52 straight games, extending the longest win streak in Division I softball history. Sooners, one win away from joining UCLA from the late 80s as the only team to win three straight national championships. Game two, folks, is tonight, 7 Eastern, right here on ESPN and ESPN+. All right, coming up, will it be a sunset for Chris Paul in Phoenix? Could the future Hall of Famer end up with LeBron in the Lakers? Plus, he's the Madden cover boy. But one of our analysts will tell you why the clock is already ticking on Josh Allen. Is he ever going to get the Bills to the Super Bowl? It's Get Up here on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Delicious, meet nutritious in the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Get Up is brought to you by Miller Lite. Great taste, 96 calories, tastes like Miller time. Celebrate responsibly. All right, we head to the NFL, and we are dialing Diana. Diana Russini, what do you got?
Pick up the phone. All right, let's start with DeAndre Hopkins. You picked up the phone when the Tennessee Titans reached out to him to set up a visit. DeAndre Hopkins is expected to fly into Nashville on Sunday and hang out at the facility on Monday. Head coach Mike Vrabel saying yesterday, or at least confirming this visit, and saying that this is not a recruitment trip. He's like, I did that in college. This isn't about recruitment. This is about two sides wanting to be together. So we'll see if DeAndre Hopkins winds up being a Tennessee Titan. Meantime, Jets Quinnen Williams will most likely remain a New York Jet. Robert Saleh, the head coach, saying yesterday that they expect to get this deal done. Adam Schefter reporting yesterday, the hang-up right now, the reason why this deal isn't done at this point, has nothing to do with money. It's the years. The Jets, they want 5 years. Williams wants 4 years, of course, so he can get another dip on another contract coming up in 4 years. So we'll see how that plays out. But Saleh feels like it'll get done. In the meantime, Jerry Jones saying yesterday that they're going to get a deal done with Dak Prescott. It's something that they want to get done. And here's the thing, Brian, this is kind of sneaky big news, right? Because we're talking about all these quarterbacks getting paid. Dak Prescott's got 2 years left on his contract. Next year, there's a $60 million cap hit. If they don't get a new deal done with Dak Prescott, he's been tagged twice already. So they've got to work a deal out. Jerry's saying that they want to get this done. They're going to try to do this. But this is something we should certainly keep an eye on this summer.
Especially, I mean, you got Michael Parsons needs to have his deal done. Trevion Diggs, C.D. Lamb, all of these guys. By the way, speaking of football, you know, the cover athlete of Madden 24 has been revealed. Bills quarterback Josh Allen receiving the honor. Yesterday on our show, Teddy Bruschi spoke about the urgency surrounding Allen to win a Super Bowl.
Josh Allen needs to do something. And I think the clock is ticking in Buffalo to where all the fans, they want a championship, and it's been a long time. I mean, making the playoffs one thing, but he's really just hit a bunch of long foul balls in the playoffs. I mean, he looks great. I mean, there are highlight plays all over the place, but still, something impactful to give the city of Buffalo. I think this is the year Josh Allen has to show it.
That's interesting. Let's go to the guy who's won a Super Bowl. Nink, listen. You got Patrick Mahomes, you got Joe Burrow in the AFC. Does Josh Allen have a legitimate shot of getting the Bills to the Super Bowl?
Yeah, of course he does. But it's going to take a whole team to do it. It's not just Josh Allen. And we know Josh Allen has the talent to play at an extremely high level, just like those other two quarterbacks that you mentioned. So I look at the Buffalo Bills and say, okay, last year they went out and got Von Miller. Why did they go and get Von Miller? They needed pass rush. They needed a good pass rush. When they lost Von Miller, I think that that was a crucial blow to the Buffalo Bills. We know the other things that happened last year with Hamlin. So of all the things that affect the Buffalo Bills, it's not all just on Josh Allen to go and get them to a Super Bowl. It's the team that has to do that. The defense has to do that. They have to come together in a very, very tough division and get something done this year. I agree with Teddy that the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen have pressure on them to get to a Super Bowl, but I do not see the window closing.
Probably one of the reasons why they went and got Leonard Floyd as well to help that pass rush. What do you think, Harry?
When I look at the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen in particular, as long as Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow is in the AFC and the Bills and Josh Allen have to face them, I don't see it happening. You look at the last 3 years, who have been the two quarterbacks to stop Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills from getting to a Super Bowl? It's been Patrick Mahomes twice. It's also been Joe Burrow a year ago. And you look at the numbers for those two games, and against Patrick Mahomes in 2021, Mahomes threw for 379. Josh Allen threw for 329 and four touchdowns. But Patrick Mahomes got the ball with 13 seconds left and he went down and got a field goal and also had the ball first in overtime. You look at last year versus the Cincinnati Bengals, and Joe Burrow outplayed Josh Allen in that game in Buffalo. And a lot of people may ask, what does those two quarterbacks have that Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills don't? Well, I think it's two things. When you need to run the football, Kansas City Chiefs have showed that they can run the football and let that also be an outlet to Patrick Mahomes. The Cincinnati Bengals have done the same thing. The run game for the Buffalo Bills have been non-existent. Also, those other two quarterbacks have the ability to take care of the football. Josh Allen has showed us he cannot do that. So when I look at the Buffalo Bills and Josh Allen, I think as long as Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow's in the AFC, I don't see it happening.
Yeah. Diana, what's that stake? What's that stake you think for Josh Allen?
Harry, I feel like you're painting a picture of a big gap between Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow, and Josh Allen. And I don't think the gap is that large. You look at this Buffalo Bills defense. They've got to be a top three defense in the NFL this upcoming season. The moves they made, the signings they made, Sean McDermott taking over the play call, and we know Leslie Frazier has stepped away, right? And Sean McDermott is known for his scheme and what he's able to do on the coaching side. He's been a good head coach, but I think this is where they're going to flourish. Injuries were a really big part of this Buffalo Bills team last year. That held them back a lot. Micah Hyde, we know, was dealing with injury. We talked about Von Miller already. We know that they signed Floyd recently, right? So they're building up this defense, and they're going to be very good. I think this is the part of the Buffalo Bills team that is actually going to get them over the hump that we see them continually run into year in and year out and year out. I don't think the gap is as wide as I think it's being portrayed.
All right, we'll see. And listen, he's got to deal with the Madden jinx, too.
Hold on real quick, BC.
Go ahead, Harry.
But see, I'm not going to sit here and say the gap is wide, but let me read some numbers to you guys. In 2021, when Buffalo played the Kansas City Chiefs, Kansas City had 182 yards rushing and two touchdowns. Buffalo had 109 yards rushing and one touchdown. Josh Allen had 68 of those yards. Last year versus the Cincinnati Bengals, Cincinnati had 172 yards and one touchdown rushing. The Bills had 64. So you have to be able to run the football. Also, you have to be able to protect the football. I trust Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow protecting the football and also their run game over Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills.
We also he'll have to deal with the Madden jinx going on, being the cover boy of the Madden. We'll see what happens with Josh Allen and the Bills. All right, coming up, what in the heck actually happened to the Miami Heat? They go cold. Their effort is called out. How much trouble are they in? And CP3? Is Chris Paul on his way out of Phoenix? And could he end up with LeBron and the Lakers? Jay Williams, he's going to join the discussion next here on Get Up.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back to Get Up. It is Thursday. Let's get to the game of the night. It is game 3, NBA Finals, Nuggets, Heat. Let's pick this game up in the third quarter because the Nuggets were up 9, and it's Jamal shooting, missing. Look, I'll just clean up my own stuff here. Lays it right back up and in. Nuggets are up 11 at this point. Still in the third. They're up 10. The Joker for 3. Through 3 quarters, Joker at 26, 18, and 9. Murray, 22, 5, and 8. To the fourth, hands it off to Murray. Murray knocks it down. 10 assists for Jokic. First player with 10 triple-doubles in a single playoff, and he wasn't done. Watch this one over Bam Adebayo. Well, the shooter's touch. Jokic, 32, 21, and 10. Murray, 34, 10, and 10. The Nuggets win game 3. So Jokic recorded the first 30-point, 20-rebound, 10-assist game in NBA Finals history. It was his third career game with 30 points, 20 rebounds, and 10 assists in the playoffs, and the rest of the NBA history has combined for 2 such games, including Kareem and Wilt. That's what this guy is doing here. So Jay Will is here with us now. What did you take away from the Nuggets' big win last night?
That Jimmy Butler failed the Miami Heat. And I understand it's a team sport, but all that stuff about Jokic is incredible, and we could talk about that later. But we talked about in order to beat the Denver Nuggets, you have to cut the head off the snake.
Yeah.
That is Jamal Murray. Jokic had 41 in game 2. Jamal Murray was held to 18 points, like on 17 shots. Miami won the game. So when Jamal Murray is scoring 20 points in the first half and he's finding his rhythm, then that allows him to be a double-headed monster. And that's when they're at their best. So when I hear Jimmy Butler talking the postgame about, I need to do better, I need to bring better energy, yeah, because it starts off in the first quarter, them involving him in a lot of pick-and-roll action, and Jimmy Butler needs to have that sense of urgency and really set that tone defensively on taking the head off the snake, and that comes with stopping Jamal Murray.
It seems like then, CJ, he's saying something that what Wendy said earlier when I asked him which triple-double was more important. He said Jamal Murray.
Because you expect Joker to go get 30. They talked about it. Kyle Lowry read the stat sheet, said 30, 20, 10. He wasn't reading it as if he was surprised. He was reading it as if he expected Joker to do that, and he's on the opposite team. So if you know he's going to get 30 or 40, you have to be able to stop their 1B or their number 2 guy, which is Jamal Murray. And we don't mean stop him. We mean contain him. Make it very difficult for him to touch the ball. Don't allow him to walk in and catch and shoot threes. Understand that you have to go over all DHOs. You can't go under because he can shoot. And once he gets comfortable, their team's offense is better and it's more dynamic. The Denver Nuggets made 5 threes as a team and still dominated the game. Can't do that.
Wow. And by the way, I know you dribble handoffs for the people listening at home.
And now, exactly. I know we're not asking Jimmy Butler, CJ, to score 35 points every night, but you start looking at these 3 NBA finals and you're saying that's 62 points on 57 shots, man. Like that's a real grind for him right now and what he's going through. He's carrying a load, but he needs to do it on the defensive end, more importantly.
You're asking him to be everything for this team,
yes.
Right? But
yes.
You know, he was the defensive stopper in game 2, or at least was getting credit for that. And they have 2 days to prepare for it. To me, those extra days off in between these games, like it does set you up for all the narratives of Jimmy Butler, he's the stopper, that's what they did. And okay, well now we're gonna make you have to run through screens. We're gonna set you up. We take our 2 best players and we're gonna have them play together and everybody else gonna watch. No one else really touched the ball. This was all just Murray, Jokic, and everybody else was watching. I was getting a text from a former NBA coach who texted me during the game. He said, everybody else is standing and watching because these 2 guys are doing all the work. They don't have to do anything other than just be support, space, everything else. But they could not stop this 2-man game. And that was basically what Miami had to do. They went into zone, couldn't do it. They gutted this defense, 60 points in the paint. And these 2 guys combined for 30 of those 60 points in the paint. So it wasn't just Jimmy Butler. I think it was a collective of the Heat just not having any ability to stop 2 incredible players who had an incredible night.
So are the Nuggets now in the driver's seat?
to close this thing out?
I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously it goes back to home court advantage in their favor.
Yeah.
Right? So when it's all said and done, look, Miami's one heck of a basketball team. And still, I just go back to this. In game two, they had to shoot the lights out to be in a position to win the game, which they were able to do. Last night, I saw a Denver team who had a better sense of urgency defensively. You know, in game two, they had 17 made threes. 9 were wide open. They were butt naked for those threes. You didn't see any of those type of looks last night. So that size, that power, that frame, this is why people have been saying that they think Denver is more talented than Miami. Talented team doesn't always win, but look at what the numbers tell you right here.
Well, that's been all playoffs for the Heat. When they make their threes, you hate to say make or miss, but when they make their threes, they win. When they shoot under 35% from three, they lose. But you also have to give credit to a Denver defense. Like I said, the two stars handled the offense, but everybody else, they were closeouts, they were hustles, they were getting after rebounds, they out-rebounded by 25. They dominated this game with two players on offense and everybody on defense. That's what it took, and that's what it's going to take for them to win this series.
Two more things I wanted to add. Denver Nuggets have been favored in every game throughout this final so far. Favored by 8, favored by 8, favored by 2.5 last night, favored by 3 in the upcoming game. They are the better team. They're the team that was number 1 throughout the entire season, so they're used to this. This is just a new way of playing basketball for them where they just play through 2 because normally they're using movement for everyone, but I want to credit the rookie. The rookie played extremely well. Those 15 points were needed. 7 of 8, his only miss was off the side of the backboard.
I tell you what.
Why'd you have to call him out?
Why'd you have to bring that?
Because I've done that before, too. I've hit the side of the backboard.
Just letting you guys know, game 4 is going to be a fight. Because the way Denver went into Miami and physically manhandled them, which is Miami's blueprint, you know game 4 is going to be a dogfight.
I hope so.
Oh, absolutely. All right. We got to move on to another big story. You know, Chris Paul has been in discussions with the Suns about his future with the franchise. And according to Woj, those discussions include the possibility that he could be waived by the end of the month. All right. Wendy, what are you hearing?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than 1 rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
About Chris Paul's future.
Yeah, so one of the things that the Suns talked to Chris Paul about when they met with him is they could have 4 players make over $30 million this year, and the new CBA just makes it very difficult for that to happen. And so it's possible that they could make another move where they could save some salaries, especially if they're able to trade DeAndre Ayton. So while the final decision hasn't been made, I think it's likely that by the end of the month, June 28th, we'll see Chris Paul waived. And I think his future is in one of two places. One is Los Angeles, be it the Lakers or the Clippers, both teams potentially in need of a point guard. Their point guards on both teams are free agents, Russell Westbrook and obviously D'Angelo Russell. And it's not out of the realm of possibility. I think it's worth pointing out that the Suns could bring him back. It would almost act kind of like an NFL-style restructuring where his contract is paid out in a partial guarantee and they bring him back for a lesser salary. But that's what I would bet on. I would bet on either LA or Phoenix for Chris Paul once we get into July.
So if you're talking about L.A., you're reuniting the Banana Boat Boys. So would he be the missing piece for LeBron and the Lakers?
Oh, no. Wait a minute. You're going to bring in a 38-year-old who gets hurt with Anthony Davis, who plays like he's 38 years old and gets hurt, with LeBron James, who's 40 years old? No, you can't do that. It makes sense for Chris Paul because that's home for him. He'd like that. But if you're the Lakers, no, that's not the move you make here. Because you'd be waiting to see which guy gets hurt first in the playoffs, Anthony Davis or Chris Paul. That's a dangerous place to go for the Lakers.
I mean, look, you can utilize him from a minutes restriction throughout the course of the season in an effort to...
So not a main piece.
I mean, look, if he can be added a piece that you can have for cheap with that roster and allows you to keep your current roster constructed, potentially it's a fit.
But they're talking about big three. Add him, is this a big three to win the championship?
I don't think right now... And CJ, you tell me if I'm wrong here. I don't look at CP3 like that. I look at him as a guy that can orchestrate moments of time where you need him to. Like, I'm not going to look at him as a usage rate that's going to be 95%. I think you're trying to get to the postseason where you felt like they missed that extra ball handler, that other playmaker, to help make the game easier.
Talk about a guy who's going to make solid decisions. He's got an elite mid-range jump shot. He averaged 14-9 last year. He's great at managing games and putting people in the right positions to succeed. Does he have to play all 82 games? No. The Lakers don't need him to play 82 games. The Suns don't even need him to play 82 games.
They need him to help win 16 games,
They need him to be healthy during the playoffs. And I think for him and for where he's going at in his career, he wants to win a championship. He wants to compete at a high level. And those two teams give him the opportunity to do that. And I think for the Lakers, obviously they have some situations they need to figure out with Reeves and Russell and Schroeder and all those other players, Rui. But that's a really good team that could – everybody could use a Chris Paul on their team. First,
you guys are nicely describing a backup point guard.
So yeah, Wendy, give you the final word. Is Chris Paul worth it at this point?
I absolutely think he's worth it.
If he's 100%. On a minimum contract, he'd be one of the best values in the league. And just point something out. In the playoffs, Devin Booker was the primary point guard for the Suns. And that's one of the reasons why the Suns really can't pay him $30 million going forward.
All I want to say, BC, is all these options are great. Imagine if he were on the Boston Celtics.
Wow.
You talk about a team. I'm not saying he would want that, but a team that is searching for an identity of somebody to lead them in those moments, I do feel like he would be the missing link
for
the Celtics.
You got to manage those minutes because you need him in the postseason. You know, speaking of Chris Paul, did you hear what he said about the title taunts his daughter got in school?
What?
Oh, man. And how important a championship to an athlete's legacy is. We'll ask our athletes about that one next as well on Get Up.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Nikola and Jamal Murray are one of the most elite two-man game combos in the NBA, and I think it was on full display tonight.
Shot clock at two, Murray. Oh, Jamal Murray from downtown. Jokic backs in. Just too big and too strong.
By far their greatest performance as a duo in their 7 years together.
Two 30-point triple-doubles here in game three for the Nuggets.
This is what I do. This is what I've been doing for my whole life. This is what I've wanted to do my whole life.
Is this the best basketball that we played? I don't know. As long as we're winning games, I think.
They were a dynamic duo last night. You know, in NBA Finals history, the team that wins game three of a 1-1 series has gone on to win the title 80% of the time. Now, it is worth noting, the trend hasn't held up recently. Since the 2011 Finals, game three winners in a 1-1 Finals have a 3-4 series record. Meanwhile, we've been talking about Chris Paul, who's in discussions with the Suns about his future there. The clock is ticking on the 38-year-old Paul's career. He has never won a title, and he's not the only one hearing about it. He talked with our Ryan Clark on the Pivot podcast.
Like, my daughter is the sweetest soul you'll ever meet in your life, right? The sweetest soul ever in your life, but she's at that age now where at school, kids talk crazy to her. Right, so she had a little boy, whatever, at school that said some reckless stuff to her. It was like, your daddy ain't never gonna win no championship.
All right, we got our versions of players only here on Get Up here. Rob, give me your reaction for what you heard from Chris Paul.
It's unfortunate. Kids are mean. Let's just put it. I mean, kids are mean in school. I think I had a couple instances. One instance, a parent said something to his kid, and his kid said something to my kid about, you know, your dad can't tackle. That's why he retired. And I said, hey, tell him let's go play a game of pickup football, tackle football outside. I'll show him that I can't tackle. And then in another instance, a friend of mine, his name's Jeff. I won't say his last name. You know, we decided to do the tackling drill where you line up head to head on your back and somebody blows a whistle, you get up. I buried him like five times. He couldn't even get up. And I just said, I said, listen, I know you're, you know, you're my age. We're the same age, but there's just a difference here. There's a difference in athletic ability.
Yeah, you're right. I love that. Harry, sorry. How important then was winning a championship to
Jeff,
you during
I'm
your
sorry.
Career? Yeah.
First, let me say this. Nico, that's the way you teach discipline. Right? If it's not there, you make sure you teach discipline, and I'm proud of you for doing that, Nico. But I'll say this. For me, it's what drove me, trying to win a championship and reach a Super Bowl. From the moment I started playing sports as a kid, that was the ultimate goal. I know a lot of people, and I played with a lot of people that played the game for the money. That wasn't me. I played it because I loved it and I wanted to win a championship. And that's what drove me every single day. Now, in that process, you know, I was able to make a lot of money and be able to put my family in positions and have things that I may not have had growing up. But money was not the driving force for me. It was the opportunity to try to win a championship and play for one that really drove my career.
Do you still think about it? That you didn't win one?
Every single day. And my best chance to win a championship came in 2012 when we made the NFC Championship game and lost to the San Francisco 49ers. But this play that's being showed right now is something that I think about every single day. It was man coverage, 3rd-and-2 situation. I knew I was going to get the ball, threw the defender down on a wheel route, and the ball got caught in the lights. And I didn't see it to the last minute, and I went down trying to catch it. And I think about that play all the time because that would have put us up late in that game. I mean, we still would have had to get a stop, but it would have put us in a prime position to reach a Super Bowl. So I think about that play just about every single day, BC.
You know, CJ, you're about, what, a decade in now into your career?
Decade in, yeah.
Haven't won a title yet. What would it mean to you to get that chip?
I think they all talked about it. One of them has won a championship and has also played rough and tumble in his yard, which is a really cool thing to say out loud. But I think for me, it's about maximizing your talent, yeah. Right? Maximizing the ability that you've been gifted with and taking advantage of each day and trying to position yourself to win a championship. I've obviously come close one time. I've run into the Warriors a lot of times, which has derailed those chances. We had a chance in the conference finals a few years ago and unfortunately weren't able to accomplish it. But I think that's why we all play the game, right? We all want to win the championship. We all want to be able to hold up that Larry O'Brien trophy. We all want to be able to celebrate and have a parade with our families because of all the sacrifices we make on a day-to-day basis. But I say all this to say that we all want to win a championship, and if you don't, it's not a failure, right? Because it's very hard. It takes a lot of different pieces to win a championship, but it's something that will eat at you for the rest of your life, and it's something that becomes a conversation forever. Hence what we see on Turner, right?
When Charles Barkley is made
fun of constantly for it. But I think all in all, we all want to win a championship, but we know how hard it is to accomplish that.
Nate, how did winning a championship change your life?
Well, I think everyone has a different path, a different story. And, you know, I was fighting, clawing, scratching just to stay in the NFL early parts of my career. So it took me 9 years to win a Super Bowl. And there's a lot of things that go into winning. It's not just having one great player. You have to have a great team. And you have to have some things go your way. So, you know, for me, during your career, when you're young and you're in your 20s, you think you're going to play forever. And you think, oh, I'll just do it next year. I got another opportunity next year. Well, as you get older, you start to realize your opportunities are becoming fewer and fewer. And I've played with a lot of guys who were trying at the end of their career to come to a team that had some pieces in place, to come to the Patriots, to go win one before they rode off into the sunset. So for me, you know, I'm just blessed that I was in a great place with a great team, and I was able to capitalize on that opportunity. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, you know, there's always going to be 31 other teams that are upset that they didn't win a Super Bowl. So for me, you know, it's not a failure to not win a Super Bowl. There's plenty of guys that have terrific careers. I think it's just understanding you gave it your all, you gave it your best. I didn't get there, and it's unfortunate for a lot of players. You know, so for me, I cherish the moments that I had, the Super Bowl wins that I do have, and that is with you forever. So for the rest of everybody else that looks back, you know, they just have to be happy that they maximize the potential that God gave them.
Absolutely. All you guys have had great careers. We're going to talk about a guy who's had a great career, and it's still going because some sneaky big news in Miami. Lionel Messi is coming to South Beach, and he's not the first big-time soccer guy to come to the U.S. We got to remember in 1975, the three-time World Cup champion Pelé made his way from Brazil to join the New York Cosmos. Remember, he won the NASL title. That was in 1977. And after winning titles at Manchester United, Real Madrid, David Beckham, he signed with the LA Galaxy. Remember that in 2007? He was part of that two MLS Cup-winning squads there. And then now, Inter Miami is bringing in Lionel Messi, winner of 12 league titles, four UEFA Champions League crowns, a World Cup, seven-time World Player of the Year award winner. I guess the question here is, now that Messi is coming to the MLS, are you going to become a soccer fan, Nico?
I'm always a soccer fan. Listen, when we were doing production meeting yesterday, I was literally sitting in a parking lot watching my daughter play soccer. So, you know, listen, to have Messi here, it's great. The city of Miami, their ticket prices have already quadrupled or went up eight times. I don't know. I think that before he signed, they were $50. Now they're like $400. So, you know, having that guy, I mean, it's just name recognition. Everyone's going to want to watch, and I'll be watching as well.
Harry, you got soccer there in Atlanta. You going to be watching?
Yeah, I'm a big Atlanta United fan. I'm not going to say I'm going to sit up here and, you know, go out of the way to watch Messi. If he's playing against Atlanta United, then I'll definitely watch. But I think it's just good for the game. It's good for the city of Miami. It's good for MLS to be able to have a guy of his caliber. And it's going to force a lot of other people to actually take the time out and watch him play here in the U.S. So it's phenomenal.
DJ, you watching?
I'm absolutely going to watch some games. I might even try to get down to Miami to see him because this is a once-in-a-lifetime. You talked about it. Pelé came in 75. David Beckham came. This is a generational talent that we're going to tell our kids about and our kids are going to talk about one day. So as a guy who grew up playing FIFA, you know, a lot of soccer on the video game, I look forward to actually being able to see him. See him in person.
From playing on PlayStation, watching it live. I love it. I know one thing you guys will be watching, the NBA Finals, because coming up, it is time to get up with Denver's dominance. An historic night. The Nuggets dynamic duo go wild. What the heck happened to the Heat? We're going to talk about that next.